my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, broadcasting from my basement out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. And indeed, the vision for this program is to set a biblical approach to life against that which we have inherited from our humanist forefathers in this country. Socialism and a pro-death, anti-God culture has pretty much consumed education, medical care, and just about every area of life today. So what do? Christians light a candle. We don't just curse the darkness. We light candles here. And the Generations Radio broadcast has produced the Christian Family Discipleship Program. We do online summits for homeschoolers. We produce a Christian curriculum for 7th to 12th graders. And we also have gotten behind the Christian Family Elder Care movement with all of our resources, as well as the Christian Midwifery program as of 4 to 5 years ago. And it turns out, certainly, this way of life is God's way of life. And we want to reconstruct some of these areas in which socialist governments have intervened and produced a different worldview, a bad worldview, and imposed it upon hundreds of millions of people across this country. So what do? Well, as Christians, we bring a Christian world and life view to bear in every area of life, and that's what this ministry has been doing for the last 15 years. Well, my mother-in-law is in hospice now, and she is with us. She has been with us for about 5 to 6 weeks, and we are right in the middle of Christian Family Elder Care. Imagine that. We came up with the idea and we sponsored a ministry that encouraged hundreds and thousands of other families to engage in Christian Family Elder Care. And then God brought Grandma home to us. And we are taking the 401 course in Christian Family Elder Care ourselves as the Swanson family out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. It's a full-time, 168-hour-a-week care for our mother-in-law. And we run 4 6-hour shifts of all four daughters and my wife very much involved with that. It's 168 hours a week of care. She's got the trach, the feeding tube, and so forth and so on. So it's 100% care for my mother-in-law right now. Week after week goes by, now month after month, and we're beginning to understand what it's like to wear comfortable shoes and to engage in Christian Family Elder Care. So what a blessing that has been for our family. And I am planning to issue my daughters RN degrees when they're all done with this. That's a little homeschool humor for the government bureaucrats that are listening and who may be a little bit concerned with what we are doing out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. But here's the takeaway on this edition of the program, my friends. I think it's been something like 4 times that the medical establishment has tried to end my mother-in-law's life. So this has been something of a shock to us. We didn't realize that the establishment was as pro-death as it turns out to be. My wife has stepped in a number of times and asked exactly why are we doing this, and we have corrected course and saved my mother-in-law's life a number of times. And we are extremely unimpressed, my friends, with the modern medical establishment. It is extremely pro-death. This has been very eye-opening for us. In fact, this morning, my wife was coming off her 4 a.m. shift, and we were sitting down for breakfast together. And she's just told me she's very disheartened with the modern medical establishment. She said, you know, we need to abandon this, Kev. We need to form our own. In fact, can we buy up the houses in the neighborhoods and help all of the elderly in the entire area and provide the care that will not be provided by a pro-death socialist establishment? That was my wife's concept this morning, and I may be jumping on that shortly. But she was a nurse back in the 1980s when we were married, and things are way worse today than they were back then, at least according to my wife and the experience that she has had with the medical establishment since her mother has entered into hospice as of about something like a year ago. There's just very little compassion, very little Christian compassion left in the bureaucratized, corporatized, socialist system of medicine out there. And the enemy is creeping into every nook and cranny of the medical industry, my friends. The medical industry is almost totally pro-abortion. I take my word for it. It's pro-suicide. It's pro-euthanasia. It's pro-killing. You know every other state is going to move towards euthanasia and suicide over the next 10 to 15 years. What is it now? 6, 8 states have turned towards euthanasia and approved doctor-assisted suicide across this country. There is such little compassion in the systems today. The medical industry is most interested in cost. They're always asking the question of cost. What is this going to cost us? That's a big question. It's all reduced to economics and socialist systems where the redistribution of the wealth may or may not have enough money to redistribute to this person or that person who may have to be aborted or euthanized, as the case may be. So the enemy is creeping into every nook and cranny of the medical industry. The medical industry is turning pro-suicide, pro-abortion, and with very few exceptions. And now it's beginning to affect midwifery as well.
Midwifery in England and America is now almost totally controlled by pro-abortion forces. The Royal College of Midwives in the UK has now called for all time limits on abortion to be scrapped. That is, no limits on abortion. Abort as long as you want up into the third trimester, or maybe even the fourth trimester or fifth trimester. Who knows? Infanticide may be coming down the pike as well for the UK. Also, the United Kingdom's Royal College of Nursing is poised to back a controversial campaign calling for all time limits on abortion to be scrapped as well. The RCN is considering this new policy after consulting its 435,000 members on decriminalizing all abortions in the UK. That's the nursing organization, and the Royal College of Midwives has already done just that in the UK. Also, midwifery is turning pro-abortion in the United States of America as well. A judge in Montana has just granted a midwife and a nurse permission to commit abortions. While a law preventing non-doctors from practicing abortion is litigated, the ACLU has pushed this one very hard in the state of Montana. That the law, according to District Judge Mike Manana, who approved this new allowance for midwives to commit abortions, this law perpetuates ongoing irreparable harm to the plaintiffs and their patients. He said the ACLU and the Center for Reproductive Rights are challenging the law. That is the law that prevents midwives from doing this. They argue that midwives and advanced practice registered nurses should be allowed to commit abortions in the state of Montana. So for the time being, nurses and midwives are being encouraged to commit abortions in the state of Montana. Also, Alaska's governor appointed a Planned Parenthood operative, a pro-abort, to the midwifery board in the state of Alaska. That happened at the beginning of April of this year. But thankfully, the legislature turned her down by a vote of 28-32, close vote. But apparently, Alaska's governor was gung-ho to bring Planned Parenthood into the midwifery board that controls midwifery in the state of Alaska. So we're thankful that the Lord has allowed us to start America's first Christian midwifery program as of 4 to 5 years ago. It started right here in our radio studio with Diane Marshall, who happens to be with me today from Christian Heritage Academy of Midwifery. Diane, do you remember that we were in this studio as we began to talk of the vision of bringing midwifery into the United States as Christian midwifery and a Christian midwifery training institute into the United States? And indeed, God allowed for that to happen some 4 to 5 years ago. So we're very, very thankful for that. And we're going to talk with Diane Marshall in just a moment, update you as to what's going on with the battle against abortion in midwifery across this country. That in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom, a biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
Welcome back to the Generations broadcast today as we talk about the great battle that is raging in the field of midwifery and childbirth in America and the UK. This is Kevin Swanson, also Diane Marshall, in studio with us today as we discuss the future of Christian midwifery in America. We're very thankful that God has allowed a Christian midwifery training program that started in America some 4 to 5 years ago in this radio studio, and we're thankful that God has prospered the work over that period of time. I draw from Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, the other Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. And these midwives understood that we are in a great battle between good and evil. And indeed, the devil himself is big time in favor of abortion. Why? Because the seed of the woman is exactly what crushes the head of the serpent, and he doesn't like that kind of thing. So in the end, it's the Herods and the Pharaohs that are pushing very hard to kill the children down in Egypt or out in Bethlehem. Indeed, my friends, the enemy is constantly working on the midwives, and the enemy is still working on the midwives. In the United States of America, the battle rages. And Diane, what do you think it is? Why is midwifery increasingly dominated by lesbianism and abortion in this country as well as others, do you think?
The major reason is the control over births, the control over birth control, the control over all these areas. I remember in the beginning you used to call us one of the Island of Freedoms.
Yes.
You know, and I honestly didn't understand all of that until recently when I heard about Montana.
Yes.
And I thought, oh my Lord, this is happening.
It's coming to America. It's coming into midwifery.
Yes. And so, yes, it is. Obviously, we have an enemy, but we're already experiencing within the school a young woman that wants to come to our school that was just battered verbally going to a creationist school. And so the lesbians and New Agers and whoever else don't like us at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already experienced that.
And you're getting pushback. You're getting actually persecution from some of the pro-abortion, pro-secularist forces that are opposing Christ at every point and do not want this this training institute. But God in his mercy has preserved you over the years.
Boy,
praise
has
God.
He ever.
Mm-hmm. You've had graduates.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We're having a couple more.
Yes.
In May.
Just a few weeks now. That's right. Now, Diane, where is the program as of next year? You have a number of students. How many students will you have next year?
We'll have probably around 18 to 20 new students next year.
Wow.
We're dividing it. We still have our main full-time program. We've gone into part-time for those that can't go so fast, but then we're also opening a self-paced for mothers that need more control. So that they can take care of their families, so they have more control over their education.
Right.
So we're looking at that this fall as well.
Okay. Okay. And now the website is ChristianHeritageMidwifery.org. I realize that's a mouthful, but I'll say it one more time. ChristianHeritageMidwifery.org for anybody who's interested in midwifery training. And this program, again, has been going on for 4 to 5 years. So there has been some experience. You've learned from your mistakes. You've obviously, this is the first time that I think America has ever sponsored a Christian midwifery training program. As far as I know, the medical industry is largely controlled by the socialists and the secularists these days. They're either pro-abortion or pro-evolution or pro-socialist. They're typically not in favor of freedom. They're not in favor of the principles of God's word. Your training institute presents a biblical approach to these things. And I know that because I have taught medical ethics as part of this program for the last number of years. So I know it's good because I teach it.
Yes.
You know, and it does come from God's word. And you want this training institute to be formed upon the principles of God's word from A to Z.
Absolutely. I don't even think that this school would survive if we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is so in control. This is his school. And I've seen him preserve this from day one. And I've seen how clearly he wants this school. So if we didn't base it on the rock, on the scripture, on the principles of God, on his love, on his great love, we wouldn't have a school.
Hmm. Well, Diane, you've got a fair amount of experience yourself in midwifery. You have assistance from 4 to 5 other teachers who come in for these sessions.
Yes.
And now it's a kind of program that you can do from distance. It's a distance learning program.
Yes.
And yet also you open up monthly training sessions available to folks from around the country.
Yes. They do need the skill sessions, and that's when they come into town for the skill sessions.
Okay, right.
And then the other months we do online sessions together.
How many months a year do they come in for the skill sessions?
Four times.
So
and that's for the full time.
Four times a year, the students come into Colorado for the skill sessions.
Yes.
The other months, they do more distance learning through the internet, I assume.
Right. We talk about the myself and the teachers do their lesson for the month.
Right. Okay. Well, 85% of mothers now are doing pre-screening tests like amniocentesis on their children to identify whether or not they have any special needs. And it turns out that 90% of those tests end in abortion, at least for Down syndrome children. These are the most recent stats. And I believe they're accurate stats from the UK, where we receive the most accurate stats. Because there's socialist medicine that is very operable right now in the UK. So 85% of mothers are doing the pre-screening test. 90% of little children conceived in Down syndrome are aborted. And as I think about these sweet little children that have attended our church for the last 15 to 20 years, I can't even imagine what it would have been if these little ones would have been slaughtered in their mother's wombs, taken apart limb by limb, and destroyed by the abortionist knife. I can't imagine the devastation. I can't imagine the horrific, unethical, murderous character of this kind of procedure for these little Down syndrome children. Now, it seems also like a pro-abortion medical establishment is influential on the decisions that are made by the moms. That is, without pressure from the medical establishment, they probably wouldn't abort. And I certainly have experienced something like this as we have as we've been working with Brenda's mother. The medical establishment brings pressure to bear on us, and they encourage the ending of a life. And I think the reason is because of cost. They're always talking about cost.
Right.
You guys got to remember how costly it would be if we allowed for this baby to live. You need to understand how costly it would be if this the life of this this mother is extended even for 2 to 3 months. Now, the medical establishment, you know, would charge us $270,000 to take care of grandma, or they would charge welfare systems some $270,000 to care for grandma. We do it for about $15,000 per year. We absorb it into the family economy, so it's not quite that big of a deal. Obviously, it's something of a sacrifice for us, but we also provide a great deal of love and compassion and relationship. And, you know, there's all of that going on in the home. And the other thing we noticed is that even when we were being charged at a rate of $270,000 a year for professionals to care for grandma, she was subject to bed sores. I mean, she was not turned some 6-8 times a day. And you know how critical that is. So the turnings are absolutely critical for us as we care for grandma 168 hours a week. But the medical establishment would not turn her for $270,000 a year. It's a huge ripoff. They don't care. And as far as we have experienced, now there may be systems out there that are better than the ones that we have experienced. But at $270,000 a year, of course, they don't want to extend that grandma's life. They'll find every opportunity to end grandma's life at that amount of money. Why? Because they don't have compassion. They don't have love. They're just running a system. They're trying to operate corporations, and they're trying to divvy out the redistribution of the wealth, you know, a little bit over here, a little bit over there, and nobody gets $270,000 for a grandma who didn't save very much money and could not afford to have professionals care for her at a rate of $270,000 per year. So the point is this. There's all this pressure coming from the system. Think about how important it is for the midwife, the doctor, the nurse, who's guiding the moms or guiding the parents or guiding the family towards killing their young or not killing their young. I mean, do you think that the professionals that are involved in the midwifery or in the medical industry relating to the birthing of children, do you think it's important that they be pro-life? Do you think it'd be important that they not pressure parents towards aborting children with Down syndrome?
Oh, absolutely. That is a decision. I have an adult daughter that has spina bifida, which is different, obviously, than Down's. But I remember when she was young, they made it very clear that she was a ward of the state. And I said, "How? What? How did that happen?" And of course, I never put up with that, but all the counsel coming to the couples needs to be pro-life. That's one reason why we're not even, I think, accredited or going into accreditation because of where midwifery is going.
It's heading towards the pro-abortion, pro-socialist model.
I want to stay safe I want to be a safe place, not only for students, but for mothers.
We're talking about defending life here, my friends. And what we need is we need Christian-based, biblically-based medical training programs, medical training colleges all across this country, especially for childbirth. This is the area we need pro-life, pro-Christian, biblically-based training programs. More than any other area around the country, we need this form of Christian training for our future midwives. And the reason is because I think we are trying to defend life.
Yes.
But you're also trying to defend the future of Christian families who may want to have more than 2.4 children or whatever they will be limited to by the state. And I don't think people are considering the growth of socialism, the growth of the pro-abortion mentality as something that could threaten Christian families and the Christian church. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. And it's like we hear about, it seems so dramatic when we first hear about it. But the thing is you're seeing this creep in, as you talk about. It is more than creeping in. It's here. And so it is definitely where there needs to be defense. They're even working on the young girls in Planned Parenthood in junior high and high school, bringing them to places with immunizations and different things to keep them infertile. So, I mean, it's all over the place. It's just, it just breaks my heart. And I have become this fierce grandma that is protecting young ladies now. I am very angry at what's happening to them and that somebody along, and I know it's not just me, but we need to be protecting these young ladies and certainly the moms and the dads, but educating them as well. Because once you educate them, they become on fire and they go, you know, they stand for their rights. And so they need to definitely be educated to all this.
Do you think it'll be difficult for these young ladies who are studying to be the future midwives of America to stand against the Pharaohs and the Herods that will insist upon the killing of innocent life? That will, you know, some of them will be regulated by the state and they will be forced to dispense, say, abortifacients, or they may be forced to abort children who are conceived with certain birth defects. Do you think that the young ladies that you are training in your institute will stand in faith and will refuse to obey the orders of the AMA or anybody else that may enforce these orders?
I do. One thing that I've always said about midwives is there's, God has made us strong women. And every one of these gals that are here today, they're not only strong women, they're strong in their faith. And it was a little bit of a shock when they came in and they didn't realize quite the battle that we were in. But I bring that on and I teach that fairly soon to, that they understand the battle. So they're alert, they're awake. And no, I don't think they would be shocked, I'm sure, one the first time it hits them. But I really don't believe that they would give way.
Praise God. And one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. Praise God. They feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. Would that God would raise up young women out of your midwifery school.
Yes.
That would stand in faith and fear God rather than the king in moments like these. Well, that's the hope, my friends. I hope you are with us. I hope you understand the passion that we have for saving lives and for preserving Christian families over the next several generations. And without Christian midwives, I just can't see it happening, my friends. I just can't see it happening. So I'm encouraging our listening audience to everybody support what we're talking about today. You can't imagine the kind of spiritual and sometimes material force that is against Diane Marshall and those midwives that are standing firm and continuing to teach and to raise up future midwives through the Christian Heritage Academy of Midwifery. You can't imagine the spiritual forces and the physical forces against them as year after year, they continue faithfully on this charge that God has given to them. And so I would encourage you to everybody, every single person listening to the program, to get behind this by one, pray for them, by two, getting involved and perhaps getting your own daughters involved or those sisters in the church that may have an interest in this. They may sense something of a calling. Please, please, I plead with you, do not subject them to the pro-abortion, pro-socialist, pro-lesbian approach that is taught in almost every one of the midwifery schools in America. Please, I beg of you, don't do that to your daughters. Encourage your daughters and the sisters in the church to contact our Christian Midwifery Training Institute. It's ChristianHeritageMidwifery.org. And then thirdly, the last thing I'd like to say is that I think there are some out there who may want to support this financially, because we're really at the point now where you've got to develop this. You've got something like 25 to 30 students. Right. I mean, this thing is moving from 4 to 5 to 25 to 30 this year. And without some significant support from anybody who's pro-life out there who has something of a heart for babies and something of a heart for a pro-life medical care for our future babies that will be born in this nation. If you have something of a concern for babies, a certain concern for the Christian faith and for the sharing of the Christian faith, the maintaining of the Christian faith, even the area of medical care, perhaps God is nudging you right now to support this ministry. And Diane, how can they donate to the ministry?
There's three ways to do that. You can, if you want to use a credit card, you go ahead on the website and look up joytotheworldfoundation.org. You click donate, and then you scroll down to our program, which is Christian Heritage Academy and Midwifery, and then click donate now. Or if you want to send a check, you mail it to Joy to the World, attention Christian Heritage Academy and Midwifery, 5550. Tech Center Drive, Suite 305, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80919. And then if you want to, you don't care about a tax receipt, you can mail it to 3405 Sinton Road, Sinton, number 115, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80907.
So again, my friends, I encourage you to support our little Christian Heritage Academy of Midwifery just beginning. This is actually the fourth or fifth year.
It'll be the sixth year next
You're
fall.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, no.
Oh, it's the sixth year. I'm so sorry. We've been going for 5 years going into the sixth year of Christian Heritage Academy of Midwifery. And for more information about the Midwifery program, it's ChristianHeritageMidwifery.org. And to donate, it's JoyToTheWorldMinistries.org. So, folks, please pray for the ministry. I think that's the most important thing that you can do. Obviously, that's the most important thing you can do. Diane would covet your prayers because she is standing right in front of the Red Sea. She needs it to part, and she wants to see this thing develop in the next year into a full-time ministry, really. Something that, to this point, it's been part-time, but you really need to transition into a full-time
ministry. It's going
ministry. That way. It's going to be full-time, whether you like it or not,
exactly.
But you're going to need the support to make this happen.
We absolutely need the support.
So again, my friends, if you can just support this effort against the powerful pro-abortion, pro-socialist forces that completely dominate our institutions today, if you would please support David against Goliath by your prayers and by your finances, we would so much appreciate that. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. Diane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me again, Kevin. I really appreciate all the times you brought me on.
And friends, I encourage you to get your friends and family members tuning into this program. If there's somebody out there who's interested in midwifery, would you please send them the link of this program to that friend or that family member so that they can participate in some of these reforming efforts that we are launching for the Christian population in the Western world. This, my friends, I think will serve to salvage the things that remain, strengthen the things that remain in an age in which we have lost considerable Christian influence in almost every institution. So I encourage you again to the support of this program and the support of Diane's program as well. This is Kevin Swanson. And I encourage you to come back and tune into us one more time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.